I guess it's my turn. You know, we are experiencing some very unusual things right now, things that none of us have really experienced before. And so tonight I want to look at some things that are foundational, things that are true because some of it comes from the Bible. And the place I want to start in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Book of Romans, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, as we think about these verses and what this is telling us, I'd like for us to consider what has happened in the past and how that should affect us. In fact, I want to go way back before there was time. I want to go back to a time when there was just God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. And God determined that man was going to need some help. They were going to make man, they were going to make the world, they were going to make all the creation. But they determined that man was going to need some help if he was to be successful, because God knew the end from the beginning, and he knew that man would not be sinless. That's a sort of a ugly thing to say about man, that we're sinners, but we are. All of us are. And it's because of that sin that Jesus Christ had to come and die. There was no other way. There had to be blood shed for the sin. And it was his blood that was shed. And it was our sin that was atoned for. Then God, after he knew he was going to have to do this, he made man, made him in his own image. That means not that he looked like God, but that he had the same characteristics of God, some of them. He was triune. He had a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you have a body and a soul and a spirit. The spirit sometimes gets you into trouble. The soul also gets you into trouble. And the body definitely gets you into trouble. So we need Jesus Christ. We need him to be a part of our life. After God made man perfect. He said, we'll make man in our image. And so he made man, and man was perfect. Man was without sin. Man was man. And then he said, well, we need a helpmeet for him. There's no one else to be his helpmeet. Let's make a woman. And so he made a woman, and he made her perfect without sin. Then he put the two of them together. And that's where it went awry. The woman tempted the man to sin. The man sinned. And we have what we have today. One of the things that God, that man did once he sinned, he was in the garden with God. And just think about this. He had been walking with God in the cool of the day. God had been talking to him. He'd been fellowshipping with God. He'd been experiencing God like we have never experienced, and one day we will when we get to heaven. But here was man experiencing God, and once man sinned, what did man do? He hid from God. And man has been hiding from God ever since. I don't know why we hide, other than we know that God is holy and God is who he says he is, and what we read there in Romans 8. But man has been hiding from God, and man, with his sin, is still hiding from God. Only it's a lot more prevalent today. Christian church was established on the day of Pentecost, and for 2,000 years, there were those individuals who showed love for God by obedience to the Word of God and the Bible. And unfortunately, about 60 years ago, the church began to go into a great decline, and the church began to move away from God. That's just the facts. That's just what happened. And so today, our society is split. We have those who claim to be Christians and don't live that way. We have those who claim to be Christians and try to live like Christians, but they're not 100% successful. And then we have those who do love the Lord and want to serve him the best they can. That's what I hope we have here tonight. People who want to serve the Lord, serve him the best they can. You know, we, all of us, have experienced some things that are not good, things that were not normal 60 years ago. 60 years ago, children were raised in a Christian church, in a Christian home, and when they got out of school and they moved out, they affiliated immediately with the church, and they continued to serve the church and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, think about it. When the children get on their own, they go away. They go away from the church. They go away from Jesus Christ. Now, is that our fault? Was there something we failed to do during our time of raising them? And I don't know that there is anything that can be definitely attributed to us, but there were some things in our lives where we were not consistent. And that may have a bearing on how our kids are turning out today. They still need to be saved. We, as human beings, need to be saved. If you're saved tonight, you've got half the battle won. If your loved ones are not saved, you've got to deal with them, because it is very important that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Otherwise, when they die, they will perish in hell. You know, 60 years ago was about the time that the Supreme Court was deciding that the Bible should not be in public schools. They were deciding that children were not supposed to pray. And we sat still and let them make those decisions. We did not object. We did not cry out. And so those decisions were made, and they have been ever since then legislating more and more and more to outlaw the church. we are beginning to see, we're just beginning to see the church being attacked. Think of the Washington riot that they had up in Washington, D.C. What was the first thing they did? Set the church on fire. And churches are being burned all over this country because the church is no longer respected. It is no longer an object of respect. Now, 60 years ago, when we would see kids acting less than intelligently, we would shake our head and say, those fools. But those fools are now running this country. And we have a problem. We have a big problem. And tonight I would like to address that problem. There is only one solution, and that is that we go back to where we began. We go back to the foundation that was originally laid by the church for this nation. You know, falsehood today is more prevalent than truth. And let me give you an example. Genesis 1, 26 and 7 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, do you see how many kinds God made? Two. Our federal government right now accepts 67 kinds. I'd like to know what the third kind is. just the third kind. Also, man had dominion over all the things on earth that God had made. We are not subject to giving in to a creeping frog and not building our houses where we want to build our houses. The environmentalists are trying to destroy mankind and put the animals in his place. That's what they're doing. Trees are more important than men. So anyway, already the Bible is obsolete and no longer true according to the word, according to the world. The world firmly believes that there are more than two kinds. Biology is no longer relevant. We are what we think we are. Even the U.S. Supreme Court believes that there are more than two kinds. The United States federal government says that there are 67 different kinds. And like I said, I would just like to see the third kind. I don't need to see all these others. I'd just like to see what the third kind is. Tim, have you got any idea what that third kind might look like? You know, God has given the world time to repent. And he has given them his word. We've had the word for the whole time that we've been Christians, that Christianity has existed since the day of Pentecost when they began to rewrite it. In Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So folks, we have a big job to do. We don't have to be idle. We have a big job to do. We need to get people saved. We need to get them to call on the name of the Lord. You know, at times, and as we came to this place in time, I wondered if the whole world was going crazy or if I was the one who was going crazy. And it was easier to think that I was. Because then I didn't have to account for what everybody else was doing, just for myself. Truth only exists among those who believe the Bible. Let me say that again. Truth only exists among those who believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible tonight, you know the truth. And you can accept the truth and you can do the truth. God asks a question for himself. I don't know what the answer is. And so tonight I'm sharing this with you. I want you to think about the foundation that was originally built for this nation. I don't want to give this nation up. I like living. I like being an American. I like living in America. I like the benefits of freedom and liberty. Freedom that men have died for. I like those benefits. And so as we think about where we are right now, right this minute, with riots going on all across the nation, with young people having been taught in college that communism is the only answer, socialism is the only answer, and they believe that because that's what they've been taught. You know why they believe that? Because Christians haven't lived Christianity in front of them. That's why they believe that. They haven't seen Christianity in action. Not for a long time. And we need to become active. We need to show them that Christianity actually works. You know, God asked himself a question in Jeremiah 32:27. God made this statement. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Isn't that an interesting question? Can God save our nation? Yeah, I think he can. He asked another question. Actually, it's just sort of the same question. When he made a statement, we know, of course, that there is nothing too hard for God. The question that we need to ask is this: will God fix our land? Will God fix our land? And we must understand that the foundation of the nation is built upon the Bible. Did you know that? The foundation of the nation is built upon the Bible. And we must go back to the Bible. We must make it a viable book again by living it, by believing it. Now, a lot of our leaders have made statements, and I want us to look at a few of them tonight about the Bible. But I found this statement in a book that says that the Bible is a very special book. And written in the front of this Bible was, quote, "This book contains the mind of God, the state of men, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable." That statement was made years ago by some believer that wanted his or her great-grandchildren to know the truth. Many of our founders have made statements about the value of the Bible as related to this nation. Even some of our more modern leaders have expressed their reverence for the Word of God. So let me give you some examples. One of our recent presidents said this: "In the formative days of the Republic, the directing influence of the Bible is exercised upon the fathers of the nation. This conspicuously evident, this book continues to hold its unchallenged place as the most loved, the most quoted, and the most universally read and pondered of all the volumes which our libraries contain. We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. I suggest a nation reading of the Holy I suggest a nationwide reading of the Holy Scriptures for a renewed and strengthened contact with those eternal truths and majestic principles which have inspired such measure of true greatness as the nation has achieved." That was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He believed that the Bible was the foundation. Let me give you some others. America was born of it to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. President Woodrow Wilson. It, the Bible, is the rock on which our republic rests. President Andrew Jackson. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. The Bible and its teachings help form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual, rights which they found implicit in the Bible's teaching of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. That was President Ronald Reagan. One more. The Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it we could not know right from wrong. And that was President Abraham Lincoln. So you see, even our leaders know where our strength comes from. They know where our power and where our greatness comes from. You and I, as believers in the Bible, as the Word of God, are sentinels. We have a job to do. We are sentinels. We are to keep watch of God's truth as it is given to mankind in the Bible. If we do not do our jobs, the battle will be lost. We must expand our lives proclaiming the truth of God from the Bible and rebuking the devil's lies whenever we hear them. Without the Bible and the teaching found in this book, this country is doomed. If this country survives, it will be because we have returned to the truths of God as reported in the Bible. Now, we cannot succeed by letting someone else do the job. We need to be on the front lines of the battle. We need to formulate a battle plan for our community as we reach out with the truth. We need to take the appropriate action to get the gospel to our communities. There are people that are hungry to hear the truth after so much lying, and we have the truth. We need to figure out how to get the truth to where hungry people are and make sure that they are able to get the truth, that it's available to them. Excuse me. We need to find ways to reach out. We need to set goals for the number of people that we are going to witness to each week. And then we need to make sure that we do the witnessing. Years ago, when I was back in Bible school, I had to witness to just so many people each week. We had a number that was given to us. And we are to witness to that many people each week. 5, 6, 7. It was not an unrealistic number, but we did. We witnessed every week. When's the last time that you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you told somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? I know we've got enough tracts to go around. I received 3,000 of them the other day. We should be able to go out and witness with those gospel tracts. We need to become an evangelist. Each one of us needs to become an evangelist. You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you? Tell people about Him. Tell them what He's done for you. Tell them what He is doing for you every day. Tell them how He's taking care of you and how He's providing for you and how He wants them to be provided for. He wants to love them too. We need to pass out the gospel tracts to the people that we meet. If that's all you do, just hand them a tract. Not just with a word here and then go on our way. We need to permit the Holy Spirit to use us to witness to people that they might come to know Christ as Savior. They need to know that we're interested in them. You show an interest in people and they're going to respond to that. You meet their needs, you look after their needs, you show them that you're interested in them and they will respond. As you begin each day, ask the Holy Spirit to let you see people differently. Ask Him to let you see them as saved or lost. Think about that. People that you're meeting are either saved or they are lost. If they are lost, they're on their way to hell. And we need to intercede. We need to have a burden for those people who are on their way to hell, who are lost, who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I know that some of us are very busy with our own lives getting things done, like knee replacements, but what a tremendous opportunity to talk to the people who are involved. You're meeting new people every day. And so take the time to talk to them about the Lord, how good He is, and what He's doing for you, and how He's taking care of you. Now, we can't change what selfishness has done and built up in people without prayer. We can't change a single heart. But we can let the Holy Spirit change hearts. We can give Him a chance to minister to people and to prick their hearts and to convict them that they are something that they have need of. Let them see Jesus in you. We've got to go back to the Bible, folks. If not, this country will not survive. The very first book that was printed by the Congressional Printing Press was the Bible, so that the people of this nation could have it as a source of information about God. Some of us are so busy with our own lives, fulfilling our own plans and desires, that we don't think about what God might want. We each need a new direction, a new prayer life. We each need a new job description. What is our job? Our job is to tell others about Jesus. It's not to be successful. It's not to be the most popular person in our neighborhood. It's not to be any of those things. Our job is to tell other people about Jesus so that they might want Him. We need to go over each day in our minds and at night when we get to bed and think about everyone that we met during the day and what our interaction with them was. And check to see if we did what Jesus might have wanted us to do. We need to pray about this. We all need to pray about these things, all of us. Now, I'm preaching it myself as much as I'm preaching at any of you. We have to get much more serious about the little time that we have here on earth. Jesus Christ is giving us every day that we have. We need to love Him enough to love other people for Him. If any of you can think of something that needs to be put on this sign, let me know, the sign out front, that we are communicating with motorists every day, morning and evening, all day long, even at night. There are times that I get so involved in the things of the church that I don't have time to concentrate on the spiritual needs of those that I have the opportunity to meet and talk with. Physical buildings and physical plant are not what we're interested in. We're interested in people. And that's what God has put us here to minister to. He has put us here to minister to people. Lost people. And we need to make sure that we're doing that every day, every day. Getting a lost soul saved, or at least giving them the gospel, should be the priority of all of our lives. Making sure that we're getting the gospel out to the people we meet and know. If we know that they are lost and we don't take the time to warn them about Jesus and what He came to do, why He came to die for their sins, then we don't really love them. And we need to start looking at whether or not we love people like we should. It's there. You can't love on your own. You can't fix things on your own. God has to be the one to do it. He does. And you have the Holy Spirit living within you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the one who brings love, joy, peace. And they will be genuine. They will be real. And so we need to make sure that we are living these things for the people in front of us. If we're not really burdened about the lost people around us, then our hearts are not right. I'd hate to think that my heart was not right doing what I do. And yet I need to examine my heart. You need to examine your hearts. We need to determine as to what our priorities really are. And then we need to go after those priorities. We need to establish the priorities and then go after them. You know, what we do here at this church is not an option. You have an option to come to church or stay home. But what God wants for you is not an option. God has a very specific purpose for you that He wants you to do. He wants you to reach out to lost people. Most of these kids who are tearing down statues and rioting and burning stores, they don't have the slightest idea that most of this came through the Bible. The Bible was the foundation that built this country. We need to let them know that. We need to tell them that. They're not going to believe it. but you need to tell them anyway. And the Holy Spirit can help them to believe it. The Holy Spirit can help them to come to a realization that that is real, that it really did come out that way. 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, this is a hard part, the love of the Father is not in them. Don't be in love with the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And folks, that's what I would challenge you to do tonight. Love God. Serve him. Make him your priority in life. And find out what it is he wants you to do. I'm going to quit early tonight, and because I can't sit here much longer. The old knee is firing up. Any questions about what I shared with you tonight? Any thoughts? As a church, people, we need to get busy. We need to get busy. Well, we're doing the church right now. We're fixing things up so it'll look better, and that's fine. But we need to reach out into our community somehow. And we just, if all of you would bring somebody like Linda did tonight, bring a neighbor, bring a friend, we could begin to fill this church up. Don't come alone. Yes?
Can I share something to try to encourage
people? Sure. Absolutely.